This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We received an email from the CEO of Living Scriptures thanking us for signing up for a free trial. You are one of the brave ones helping us fight the bad media that is trying to invade our homes! ! That sounds a little bit crazy, doesn't it? Does it really? Does it really is bold.
That's my favorite part.
Hey, Katie.
Hey.
Welcome to Please Bless This Podcast. This is the podcast where two sisters talk about all things Mormon and pop culture. And sometimes
early 2000s Mormon comedies.
Yes. Sometimes we celebrate the 20th anniversary of peak Mormon cinema. So January 2023 is 20 years from the release of The RM.
Yes.
If you don't know, that means The Returned Missionary. Classic Mormon film. We watched it. We're here to talk about it.
And let's be clear, we've long known of the RM. We're original fans. Yeah.
Yes. In fact, watching it unlocked the memory of the first time I saw it, which was on a date, a group date at BYU with a guy I don't even remember his name. I never spoke again. But he and his roommates had all just returned from their missions, and they asked out me and my roommates. We go to the RM. They are like having an emotional experience.
Yeah.
And I remember, I'm sure I liked the movie fine, but I remember afterwards saying something about how it was kind of a downer.
Yeah.
Because the whole first third of the movie, or really two thirds of the movie,
yeah,
is about how the main character comes home from his mission and he's expecting life to be filled with blessings. But it's like really hard, comically hard.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was kind of a downer. And the guys were like, that was the most accurate representation of what it's like to come home from a mission. And I remember me and my roommates being like, what a bunch of sad sacks those guys were.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, it's low key, like the story of Job. Like, it's like everything went wrong.
Yeah.
So I don't know about the most accurate. I mean, right. I didn't go on a mission, but yeah.
They were being a little melodramatic.
The first two acts is like story of Job. Every single thing goes wrong when he gets home from his mission. And then the last act is like curveball.
Jumps the shark.
This movie takes a left turn.
Yeah.
What is happening?
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah.
I think before we get into the movie, we should talk about how we came to watch it, like for this podcast, in the last week.
Yeah, it was hard to track down.
Yeah.
We were kind of like, how are we going to watch this movie?
When we did some research about a lot of these early 2000s Mormon films for our episode about the Mormon Pride and Prejudice, one thing we learned was that Hailstorm Production Company was acquired by the church, and the church owns all these movies and they have them under lock and key. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to find them. You can't even rent it on Amazon. So the only place we could find to watch the RM for its 20th anniversary was by getting a free trial 2-week subscription to thelivingscriptures.com.
Yes.
And what a treasure trove. Yeah, that is.
I know. I wish that we had cracked that one open a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I downloaded the app and started perusing the app. Yeah, it's a lot.
So the Living Scriptures has been around for a long time. Like when we were kids, you could watch Living Scriptures videos that were like kind of cheesy animated takes on like Book of Mormon and Bible stories. And I feel like there are two kinds of Mormon families. There are the ones who are super into things like Living Scriptures, and their kids have all the VHS tapes, and they're like doing Living Scriptures activity books during sacrament meeting. And then there are the families who think Living Scriptures is like a con and cheesy and, you know, worthy of disdain. And that's the family we were in.
Right.
If you asked our parents like what they think of Living Scriptures to this day, they would be like, ugh, trash.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not to anyone but us, but that's what they would probably say.
For sure. So that kind of increased my pleasure in getting my little free trial to Living Scriptures.
Yeah.
But the real icing on the cake is that we received an email from the CEO of Living Scriptures thanking us for our free trial.
Right.
Signing up for a free trial. And it is one of the most unhinged promotional emails I've ever received.
Yeah, it's giving like Donald Trump campaign email.
No attempt at like coherent language use, rational ideas. I mean, it is a free for all in this email. Let me read you one paragraph. And this paragraph, the longest paragraph in the email, is one sentence. No, I can't just read the one. I have to read the two sentences that precede it. It thanks us for signing up for this free trial and then says, "You are one of the brave ones helping us fight the bad media that is trying to invade our homes!" Exclamation mark. I'm excited. I'm in. I'm a brave one. That sounds a little bit crazy, doesn't it? Does it really? Does it really is bold.
That's my favorite part.
Me too. Okay, now here's the paragraph. That's one sentence. One sentence. "Most media channels are encouraging people to watch violence, bad language, pornography at a very young age. Most popular media companies produce really low standard shows. And this is what families are being exposed to. This is why Living Scriptures exists, to have a place where families can watch amazing programs without the danger of the bad stuff." One sentence. Never in the English language.
He's getting his point across.
It worked.
Yeah.
I was riveted. I couldn't get enough of this email.
I just imagine he's grabbing you by the shoulders while he's saying it.
Yeah. I bet that sounds crazy. Does it though?
Does it really?
Anyway, a little treat.
Yeah, that was
and great. Living Scriptures nowadays is where you can find all these old Hailstorm Entertainment movies, like The RM, The Best 2 Years, Sons of Provo, The Singles Ward, but also all these church produced movies like Joseph Smith, Prophet of the Restoration, which is what was suggested to me to watch next after I finished The RM.
So you queued it up.
Smooth.
You can't help it.
Anyway.
Did you cry?
No, not at all. I did. What Katie's referring to is I did, in fact, watch Joseph Smith, the Prophet of the Restoration.
Yeah.
An hour long church produced film about Joseph Smith's life that I had watched as an all in member, as a missionary, and wept through because it's emotionally charged.
Right.
I like skimmed through it. I skipped ahead quite a bit. It does not make any sense. It's crazy how when you step away from Mormonism, you're like, how did I not see through this? It's I just can't even. If I think about it too much,
but you ate it up.
Oh yeah,
I remember seeing that for the first time and just like yum yum yum.
Yeah,
you know.
I remember watching it as a missionary in the Palmyra Visitor Center because I went to upstate New York on my mission. And at the end, as everyone's like in tears, my mission president said, "Don't you feel like you're on the right team?"
And you're like, yeah,
we were eating it up.
Yeah.
And yeah, watching it in retrospect, you're like, if he's so innocent, Joseph is so innocent, why is he constantly in jail and being charged with crimes and being convicted from time to time?
Right.
Like, when he died, he had like multiple pending legal actions against him.
Right.
Multiple.
I got a lot of questions.
Across state lines. There was a lot.
He couldn't help it. He was a criminal.
I mean, I know I've said this on the podcast before that I love the expression where there's smoke, there's fire. I find it a very useful expression because of how true it is. I'm just going to say Joseph Smith was fucking covered in smoke. He had smoke coming out of his ears.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make me feel good when you think about all our ancestors who were just like, oh wow, sure, you know, and to this day,
and to continue this day, brutal.
Yeah.
Anyway, going off on a little bit of a tangent here.
Let's lighten it up.
RM, talk to us about the RM, Katie.
Oh my God, I was just delighted by this little film. It had been so long since I've seen it. I realized, so it came out in 2003. So I was 11 years old when this video, there you go. Yep,
this film, cinematic masterpiece.
Yes, this important film came out. And let me tell you, I loved this movie. I loved all the movies in this cinematic universe. I loved being able to laugh at being Mormon. I feel that's an important part of the culture. And I definitely felt that way back then when I was very much in the church. I loved the I loved the soundtrack, the pop punk covers of Mormon hymns. Oh my God. I loved it so much. Yeah. I remember having that soundtrack. I had the CD and I listened to it all the time. And I remember our mom being kind of a downer about it. Like, like kind of being like, I don't know how I feel about this. And I remember just being like, Mom, knock it off.
Yep.
Like,
let me have this.
I'm going to have this. You're not going to take this away from me. If I can't listen to covers of hymns, I'm going to walk out the door and never come home.
When you're a Mormon missionary, depending on your mission, there are different rules about what music you can listen to. And in my mission, initially, the rules were like a little bit loose. It had to be church related hymns were good, and you were told to like kind of follow the spirit. So people would listen to like EFY CDs. You could listen to like these soundtracks that had these upbeat covers of hymns. But then I got a new mission president and he was like Motab only.
Oh no.
And I remember it feeling so devastating because like we went from, you know, you could bop along to these songs and just get the energy up a little bit to like Motab only. Brutal.
That's brutal. Yeah, that's torture. EFY CDs, man. I didn't think you could listen to EFY CDs on your mission. That's bopping.
Yeah. Some of those EFY CDs, not bad. It'd be kind of funny to do like a review of some of those.
I know. That'd be fun if we listened to, if we were able to find them, like EFY CDs from when you were in EFY and when I was in EFY and then today.
I own all of them. I don't have a CD player, but I have all of those CDs.
Yeah. Good for you.
I didn't get rid of that shit.
I wonder if they're on Spotify.
I wonder too. I would think so. But the thing is, you would think this would be accessible, but it's not.
It's true.
I think, like you said, there was this era where it was okay to be a Mormon and to laugh at the church and to laugh at church culture and what how silly Mormons could be. And I feel like they slammed the door shut on that.
Yeah.
I don't know when exactly it happened, but it's over. That era is gone.
Yeah, you're right. That's sad.
Feels like a loss.
It was very like comforting to be able to, even if just for a few minutes, sitting down with your family in front of the TV.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like, to like laugh at how ridiculous a lot of our like customs are. And yep. How people can just be so silly. Because you just get used to it.
Yeah. Like this movie, we were talking about this before we started recording. It calls out some stuff that we were like, ooh, that's kind of incisive. That's a little edgy. Like they're really critiquing something here.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I knew people who watched it and like were reflective on about those critiques and their role in... Mm-hmm. problematic practices. That wasn't really happening.
Mm-hmm. I think people were offended by it.
Yeah.
Probably.
Sure.
Which at the end of the day was good. Probably in some cases.
That's something. But these movies were relatively popular given the very targeted audience. Like the RM made over $1 million at the box office.
Yeah.
Which is not bad, all things considered. Also, say what you will about these films, Kirby Hayborn and Will Swenson, the stars of this movie and other movies around this time, are absolute stars.
Yeah, they're incredible.
They have star power.
100%.
We had this idea that we would see if Kirby Hayborn would come on the podcast. We're like, I don't know. Is he just, maybe he's ex-Mormon now. Maybe he's just the right level of not too currently famous that he would do it.
Yeah.
He's so Mormon.
He's so Mormon.
Yeah.
I know. Kirby, if you hear this, you are a friend of the podcast. You're welcome anytime.
Whether Mormon you like or not, it or not.
Active yeah. or not. We love you. There is something so special about him. He's so funny. He has such good timing and just such a good vibe. I'm happy to see that he's, you know, still working and like such a presence.
Yeah.
There's a BYU TV show doing voice acting.
I didn't know he was like an award-winning audiobook voice actor. He's done like Gone Girl, Cloud Atlas, Charlotte's Web, like all these books that are legit. Yeah, he's like a celebrated voice actor.
I believe that he's great. And Will Swenson too.
And Will Swenson, obviously a star. So Will Swenson, we know, is ex-Mormon. He left the church, according to Wikipedia, in 2008. And is now married to Audra McDonald, Broadway royalty.
Yeah.
Like, legit, he's in the group. Yeah, he was in The Greatest Showman. He was in, like, the Broadway revival of Les Mis. He played Javert.
Yeah, he's on Broadway right now.
I mean, good for him. And we knew it all along.
Yeah.
We knew it from Singles Ward. We knew it from Sons of Provo. I mean,
yeah,
that one was the best of them all, but too edgy for mainstream Mormons, I feel like.
Yes. That wasn't one we watched, like, with our parents.
No. They could never.
They would have thought it was absolutely absurd. Yeah.
Anyway, these two... such talents. So let's talk about the movie itself.
Let's get it.
The premise is Kirby Hayborn, whose name is Elder Jared Phelps.
Mm-hmm.
He gets called on a mission to Evanston, Wyoming. He works his little heart out. One thing that's funny about that mission call is, if you don't know, Evanston, Wyoming is really close to Salt Lake. In fact, I once was in a car driving from Park City to Provo. The driver, it was middle of the night. I was asleep in the back seat with other people. The driver took a wrong turn and we ended up in Evanston before she realized what she had done. That's how awesome. Close it is.
Yeah.
Like I woke up and was like, why are the mountains shorter? And she's like, I don't know. And then it was like, welcome to Wyoming.
Oh no.
So it's so close. He went
That's
like,
hilarious.
He went just up the road to be a missionary for 2 years.
A really funny it's choice hilarious. For the movie. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Before leaving his mission president is like, you're going to be so blessed. You've been such a hardworking missionary and now's the time to like reap the rewards.
Yeah, he hypes him up.
Which is for sure a thing that they tell you when you're going home from your mission. even more gross than that, there are people who will talk about, like, the harder you work on your mission, the hotter your wife is going to be.
Yeah.
Literally a thing people say.
That's so nasty. And not only that, but, like, your own family will talk about the benefits of you going on a mission. So, like, your parents will benefit by you going on a mission.
So one thing people may not realize if you've never been Mormon is that Mormon kids pay to be missionaries.
Yes.
The church is not paying you. You are paying them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went on a mission, I want to say it was like $400 or $450 a month that you needed to be paying. You know, that goes into some big pot and then the church distributes it as needed. So if you're in a country with like a lower cost of living, you're getting a smaller amount of money. If you're in a higher cost of living country, you're given more.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no control over how much you're getting. So I was in upstate New York. You know, my rent was paid for. I wasn't paying any, like, I was going to say I wasn't paying any utilities, but that's not true. We had to pay for our own trash pickup out of our monthly stipend. I want to say my monthly stipend was under $200.
That's crazy.
We were like pinching pennies to be able to eat. And you were like, hopefully enough members sign up to feed us. And you could not like buy a lot of necessities. If you needed new clothes, you needed a haircut, like especially for women, you know, those things are like a haircut is more expensive. So you were just like scraping by.
That's so crazy considering how rich the church is.
Yep.
It's so sick.
So, but the blessings. Anyway, I don't know where I got that tangent from. Oh, this was what it was. What you were saying about your own family tells you, like, oh, we'll all be so blessed. I remember mom telling me that dad got a raise for the exact number amount that it cost for me to be on my mission. So while I was on my mission, dad got a raise and it came out to be exactly $425 or whatever more dollars a month. And she was like, see the blessings of your service. And I was just like, okay, thanks. So yeah, there's a lot of talk like that. You go home thinking, bring it on here. Like pour down blessings. I'm ready.
New me.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. And it was definitely not the case for our friend Jared. He got home from his mission and just an assault of unfortunate events. Nobody picks him up from the airport. He like has a funny vision of like his family all being there in balloons. And he comes out and he looks like a rock star. And his girlfriend is wearing a wedding dress. And it's ridiculous. And then he actually gets out and literally nobody's there. He finds a way home and knocks on the door. Nobody's answering the door. He climbs in through a window. And there's a random man in the shower. For some reason, he climbs into the bathroom. Like, as if you wouldn't know that was the bathroom and the shower's running and you can hear somebody. Anyway, and then falls. But that is the moment where we have our first big racist red flag moment in this movie.
Yeah.
Where I went, oh no, I forgot. This is old and going to be super racist.
And Mormon and racist.
Yeah, shoot.
Yes, the new owner of Jared's childhood home is an Asian man. And unfortunately, because these like white dudes who wrote and created this film have no, you know, cultural awareness, they make him basically like a kung fu ninja. And like stereotypical kind of kung fu music is playing and he like kicks Jared out the window.
Right. And like a gong sound goes off. That's what really did it for me.
It is really problematic.
Yeah.
And we get some other, let's just bang out real quick other hardcore racist red flags. When Jared does eventually find his family, he learns that they've taken in like a Tongan foreign exchange student and they make him like this sort of cartoon character. His only device in the film is that he eats a lot.
Yeah. They'll have him like put a half a stick of butter between two pieces of bread and just eat it.
Yeah.
And the joke is that he doesn't speak English.
We find out in the last moment of the film that he actually does.
Yeah. And it is kind of funny because he jokes that the reason why he played it off like he didn't speak English was just so he didn't have to talk to his host mom.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I don't know what to talk to that lady about.
And like, fair enough.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
But the character in general, yikes. Racist red flag.
Yeah.
The last one I'm going to call out is Jared's dad giving him an update on like where all of his million siblings are. Mm-hmm. And he has like a brother and a sister who are also missionaries. And his dad is like, your brother Moroni is having great success with the Lamanite people.
Oh my gosh.
On his mission. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. So, and like a lot of these jokes, there is like an awareness. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. the people who wrote a lot of these jokes, like, are aware of what that sounds like. And that's not right. But that is something some Mormon dad would say. But yeah. The viewers don't necessarily have that same awareness. So
and they're not in a position to make the joke. They're not in a position to critique the system that they are a part of, that they are held up by, that they are holding up. Right. Like these privileged Mormon white dudes making fun of how Mormons maybe caricaturize Polynesian members of the church. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get to do that.
At the end same of the day.
Same thing with the way they make fun of like quirks about gender dynamics in Mormonism.
Yeah.
They get some things right, but it pissed me off because I'm like, yeah, you really dudes don't get to make fun of Mormon women.
Because at the end of the day, like Kirby Hayborn, for example, still in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Still totally right. Functions within that system. So
as a show on BYU great. TV,
right,
benefiting from the system he's poking fun at,
right,
for sure. Anywho, he finds his family. He like has to sleep in like a storage room on food storage. Also, his parents are running a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, a little MLM moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they touch on a lot in this movie. They don't miss a thing. Yeah, right. The food storage bed, that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point later in the movie where he's like just in his room feeling sad and he's just eating the MREs that are comprising his pillow. He's just pulling them out and just eating them. That's pretty funny.
So he proposes to his girlfriend. She's like, oh, oops, I just got engaged to someone I met a couple weeks ago, months ago.
Yeah.
Our wedding's in a week, you know, whatever. He doesn't get his old job back. He doesn't get into BYU. Everything he thought was going to work out hasn't. He reunites with his old best buddy, Will Swenson.
Yes.
Corey. Who did not go on a mission and therefore apparently has like no moral character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is just an absolute loose cannon because those are your options. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, come to this frat party. Come be like a lying telemarketer douchebag bro with me.
Yeah.
He's just always up to shenanigans.
Yeah.
What else even happens in this movie? Jared meets a girl, meets Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of hit it off, though he's super awkward. Turns out she's the daughter of a like general authority.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, means she's a hot item. She's the kind of girl you want.
Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder why she hadn't been scooped up yet. I'm like, what kind of baggage is she carrying around?
Maybe she's supposed to be like 18 in the movie. We have no idea. There's no character development for her.
Yeah, she looks a little bit older. It's a little bit like, why does this...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Woman live with her parents. Why is she unattached?
Right.
Just coming from that Mormon angle, I was a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
But I mean, good for Jared. you know, she's a babe.
There's one scene, it's like early in their meeting, and she's like, she can't get him to not be awkward until she starts asking him about his mission, and then he like really opens up, which she says, how many converts did you have on your mission? And he says, just me. And they kind of chuckle, you know, but also you can tell she's like, oh
yeah.
And I know, I don't remember, but I know that my little 19-year-old BYU heart was touched by that and was like, oh my gosh, what a good guy. I bet he would check off every item on my list of things I'm looking for in a husband.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just admitted that out loud. Another thing from that, them initially meeting, there's like this random character. He's in the film very briefly. And it's this guy, and he's wearing a t-shirt that says pants on it.
Yes.
And I had that t-shirt.
Of course. Iconic.
And I realized that 2003 was like the peak of my like ironic t-shirt phase.
Yeah.
And this just brought it all back for me.
I know, that was a time, the pants t-shirt, or like the t-shirt that just said college, you know, good times.
Our brother had that shirt.
That's a good shirt. I'd wear that shirt today.
Sure, why not? I'd wear my pants shirt if I still had it.
It's sort of like Rob Lowe wearing the NFL hat.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? Where it's like, oh, just the whole NFL.
You're just a fan of the whole organization.
The establishment, yeah.
So, yeah, he's like kind of dating Kelly, but not really. He's trying out all these different jobs, whatever. His sister's getting married. That wedding reception had an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah.
And I was like, a Mormon wedding would never.
That was an incredibly high budget Mormon wedding reception.
Yeah.
The decorations, normally it's like centerpieces, flowers, an arch, you know.
And it was taking place in a church building. So that was spot on.
Yeah.
But the fact that there was like live music, I was like, this is the most over the top Mormon wedding reception.
Yeah, never. That's a funny scene, though. I love when they're all in the receiving line, which we should explain because a lot of people don't do that. So that's when you line up with your immediate family and like sort of greet the guests at the reception. So you line up and then the guests line up and the guests like walk through the line and like say hi to everybody and offer their congratulations. This is something I've only ever seen at Mormon weddings.
Yeah.
Though I'm sure other people do it, but it's a real thing. It's a whole thing. It's a whole time consuming, weird thing. I hate being a guest and walking through a receiving line.
It's the worst,
most awkward thing. Cause you're just like, hey, congrats. You look beautiful. And they're exhausted. Everybody hates it. The bride hasn't eaten anything.
And because the Mormon weddings are so weird, because you're getting married in the temple and then having this little reception, people who are coming to the reception weren't at the wedding.
No.
Mormon weddings are typically pretty small. They're in rooms that can't seat a lot of people, and you have to be able to go to the temple to go to them, and not everybody can. And the reception is like this kind of open house, and people just walk in and go through the receiving line and leave a gift and eat a piece of cake and leave. Like when we were growing up, if we went to a Mormon wedding, we were there for like 45 minutes tops.
Right. We just ate cake.
And I remember being an adult and being invited to a non-Mormon wedding and realizing, oh, this is going to be my whole day.
Yeah. It's a whole thing for sure. There is something to be said, I think, for the Mormon way of doing it. And I will add, when I got married, we did invite some people only to the reception because our venue was really small. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of the Mormon people that were at our reception were only at the reception, which I find really funny and super cringy in retrospect. Like, you know, most people would never have a wedding and just only invite some people to the reception. But because of being raised Mormon, it felt like it just wasn't that big of a deal.
I also think it did have the Relief Society sisters like lined up in the back with like food stations.
Yeah.
You did have like little touches of Mormonness in your
life. I got married by a Mormon bishop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ladies from the church, like we delivered ingredients to them and they made recipes that we gave them and delivered them to the wedding.
Yep.
Which is a very Mormon
And of course wedding. You did, because that's the only kind of wedding we knew at that point we'd ever seen, our mom had ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, the budget was insanely small. Like, I don't even know how we pulled it off. for mm-hmm. how little money we did. But part of it was just by calling in the troops.
Yeah. Calling sisters.
Calling in the troops and then telling them, yeah, you can come to the reception.
Yeah. Speaking of the Relief Society sisters, we need to talk about, before we get into the absolutely batshit crazy ending of this movie, we need to talk about the way that Relief Society sisters are represented in this movie, because yeah. it is a running gag throughout.
Yeah.
That made you laugh and made me like see red.
I know. I thought it was really funny and like obviously a caricature, but just like pretty funny. Uh-huh. But I love how it got you so fired up.
It got me heated.
So we see the Relief Society sisters meeting and it's just super over the top. There's like just like a really stereotypical looking sweet older Mormon woman up front who's leading the lesson, and there's like soft music playing. I love the little, there's like a boom box with music playing that has a doily
on it.
So it's like everything is embellished, and then she like yep. pulls a sheet off the table and there are these like beautiful crystal temples as part of something to do with her lesson, and everybody just gasps in the audience. It's this audience of women who, you know, are just total caricatures of Mormon women.
Yep.
She gives everybody a handout that she made
that's like 10 pages long,
right? And she has little takeaways, a little gift for everybody, a fridge magnet, mm-hmm. you know, based on the lesson. And it's just like she has painstakingly worked on this for like months, it looks like.
Yep.
It's just so much work. And then it cuts to the men in their elders quorum meeting, and it's like just a bunch of schlubs sitting in chairs in like a poorly lit room, and there's a guy like clipping his nails in the front row,
literally clipping his nails.
The man who's like leading the lesson is like, if all right, like first of all, he's like, I'm not doing the lesson this week, it's him, it's not me.
Yeah.
And then he goes up finally and he's like, okay, let's open our books to whatever page. And then he's like, have we done this lesson yet?
You know,
like just totally has no idea what he's doing. And nobody else has their handbook, and it's just total
torture
disaster.
Yes,
right.
And that scene didn't bother me so much because it felt so spot on.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, the Relief Society stuff feels spot on too. Like, I feel like our mom, I'm not afraid to say, and my mom wouldn't take offense to it, my mom puts her whole mind, body, and soul into any lesson she gives. I mean, man, if she is asked to speak in church, it is yep. on, you know? And I think that's how, like, so many people are, you know? Obviously, yep. I think there are men who are like that too. I think our dad cares a lot if he's asked to speak, but he's also been known to fall asleep.
Yes, he's not going to go over the top in the way that mom is no. with, like, decor and handouts. But he is going to be like, I need people to come up to me afterwards and tell me how like spiritually powerful my lesson was, or right. it's a flop.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, I think our mom is the same way.
Oh, yeah.
I think women want that the same validation, but they also want to like create something beautiful. And that's the fun mm-hmm. thing about being a woman. They want to have the crystal temples, you know, and the cute little handout, but they also... with women, I think a lot of it is about making everybody cry.
Well, so that's another thing in that scene is, you know, the men are just like reading out of this book and it's going horribly. The Relief Society teacher has everyone in tears. But mm-hmm. if you listen to what she's actually saying, it's nothing. I mean, it's like
the children of men. Now, what do you think that means? Children of men. And yeah. the women are just like breaking down, crying.
Sobbing.
It's like, it means and children like, of men.
Honestly, to me, that is even like they nailed that. It's like we're trying to have some kind of like spiritual. I'm using air quotes if you right. can't see me.
Yes.
Spiritual, moving, emotional experience. But when you like actually break it down, it's just like nonsense platitudes. Like nothing is really being said.
Right.
I feel like one of my curses in life, and it really ended up biting me in the ass as a Mormon, is that I actually listen. So I'd be in lessons where people were saying things and other people and I would listen and be like, whoa, huh? This doesn't make any sense. this is problematic. This is nonsense. And people were having reactions around me. And I was like, what are you hearing?
I know. It's like, is everybody just being triggered right now?
Yes. Everybody's just pretending.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's sure, the their thing. Emotions are being triggered, but not because anything profound is being said.
No, they're turning it on. They're letting it happen.
So that felt truer than true to me.
Yes.
But what bothered me?
Tell me.
Leading up to that scene, we have like a couple of moments, and I wrote these all down because I knew I was going to have to explain myself.
Yeah.
Jared comes home and his mom is pregnant with like her 14th kid. I don't even know how many.
Yeah.
And Jared's like, you're pregnant. I didn't know. And the dad says, don't look at me. I didn't know until the visiting teachers called.
Mm-hmm.
Visiting teachers are like the Relief Society women assigned to visit you, take care of you. So this Mormon man, this father of many, doesn't even know he is about to have another child with his wife until the women inform him. He's that useless in the equation.
Right.
And that felt too, I was too triggered by Sid McGee a couple episodes ago. And the like charming weaponized incompetence. And I was like, come on. There's also a scene where his younger twin brothers are talking about how they almost have their Eagle Scout like awards, certificates. I don't know what it is. Badges.
Right.
Whatever the hell it is. And they say, you mean mom almost has our Eagle Scouts.
See, you interpret all of these things completely different than me. It's so funny. I want you to keep going, though.
Okay. His mom is chainsawing an ice sculpture of the Salt Lake Temple in their backyard to use as a Relief Society centerpiece, and then says, dinner will be ready in an hour. And I'm like, is anybody helping her?
No,
she's 9 months pregnant, chainsawing an ice sculpture.
She's doing what she has to do. She has to one up the crystal temples somehow.
I just can't. And then she goes into labor while Jared is on a date with Kelly, by the way, but that's another story. And as she's being like wheeled into the hospital, she says, I'm supposed to go visiting teaching.
That's so real, though. That is so real.
But it isn't good. And
no,
like,
it's not good.
I just know that a bunch of white Mormon dudes who wrote this were sitting in a room being like, isn't this so hilarious? How
just making fun of their own moms.
Yes. But like, all, and then going home and doing the same shit. I just know.
I love how much vinegar, you got over it. Oh, I just took it lightly. I took it on the chin a little bit. Good. I think that's basically all. When the dad says, I didn't know until the visiting teachers called, I read it like, oh, they're making this guy just a total dumbass. It's just such a caricature at this point. Like, they have so many kids. Like, it's completely outside of reality at this point. And same with the twin brothers almost having the Eagles. Mom almost got her Eagles. It's just sort of like, yeah, you know, at this point, yeah, for sure. I mean, any mom that's like putting her kids through Boy Scouts and has had however many kids get their Eagle Scouts. Like, yeah, she would be right up there with them.
I mean, you know? Our own mom, she did the same thing. I don't remember if our brother got his Eagle. No offense if you did.
No,
buddy.
He didn't.
But if he did or even came close, it's because mom did all the work.
Right.
And that's the problem. It's too real. And I know it's like absurd, but it's almost not absurd enough to be funny.
Yeah.
It's like a little too close.
I get it. I think it was absurd enough for me, but I could see how it may not have been for you, because much of it is just so true.
Yeah.
And I guess I also was kind of a useless kid growing up. So like me making it into high school was like my mom doing projects basically for me at night, when I decided to tell her I had a project due the next day, you know?
Oh no, Katie.
I also was a child who like tortured her mom through those sorts of things.
This is probably what it is, because we had a mom like this who was like an OTT ideal Mormon woman doing too much at all times.
Yeah.
Still does. She still does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But because I was like the oldest daughter, I never reaped the benefits. I was the one like, I was like her little foot soldier in all the work to do too much. And you and our brother were just sitting back, taking it all in.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it, is I'm like, no, I can't let this. It makes me upset for some reason.
I understand. Let it out, Elisa.
I let it out. I feel better.
Good.
Let's wrap this movie up.
So it goes off the rails after his sister's wedding. I guess he just like left. What happened?
He left because he realized it was the last day of the month and he needed to do his home teaching.
Right. Okay. So this is a funny part. He like goes out and like, it's like 11 o'clock at night and he's knocking on the people's houses that he's supposed to be visiting. And they are like opening the door in their pajamas, in some cases not opening the door at all. He's shoving cookies through people's mail slots. It's a funny scene. He is desperate to get his home teaching done.
Sure.
But then he is walking home and he comes across his old buddy, Corey, who is driving in a car, swerving all over the place. Turns out it's a stolen car. He's got a couple of girls in the back. They're drinking beer, which.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
And nothing could be worse to a Mormon audience.
Yeah. And Jared is like, what the heck, dude? Let me out. You know?
Yeah.
But then he has a moment. He reflects for a second. He's like, I can't let my friend drive. Move over. I'm driving the car. Let's go. And so he takes off. They end up back at the church where his sister's wedding reception is. But just as they're pulling up, his stupid friends throw all their beer cans out the windows and they get pulled over by the police in the stolen car. Turns out it's the governor's car.
It's like a fraternity prank to steal the governor's car. Yada, yada, yada.
It's a whole thing, but it doesn't look good. Jared is covered in beer. They've spilled beer on him. Mm-hmm. And just as the couple is leaving their wedding venue, they pull up. They're being pulled over by police. Oh, unfortunately, one of the police is played by a little person, because it was in that time period where you couldn't make a movie without making fun of little people.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Just
another thing. So they end up in jail. Anyway, it takes such a turn. And then it turns into a little bit of a court drama for a little while.
To me, the courtroom scene felt like it just fully devolved into like some buddies making a movie together in like high school.
Yeah.
Where like they think everything is so funny that they're doing, but it's actually kind of nonsensical and cringy, and there's no cohesion.
Right.
It's like that. It's like the first draft of a high school project.
Right. And like clearly there's no understanding of the law.
No.
Absolutely no understanding of the law. The way that everything's going down, like for some reason Jared's being represented by the fraternity's lawyer, even though he's not a member of the fraternity, and for some reason he and his friend are being like tried together, and like it just doesn't make any sense, and they're supposed to come up with this crazy lie to get out of it. Which obviously,
and Jared's not willing to lie because he's a good returned missionary boy.
Yes, he doesn't give up on those blessings that he's just waiting on, you know? So he refuses to tell the lie. He tells the truth. He gets his buddy in trouble. His buddy goes with the flow. He's like, you know, good for you, bro. I'm going to jail.
Yeah. He's so cheerful as they march him off to jail.
Yeah. In very interesting character. And then bada bing, bada boom. I guess that was the final test.
Because then the blessings start pouring in.
They do. He kisses the pretty girl.
Yeah.
They get engaged. That's all. Because that's all at the end of the day any of these people care about is getting married.
That's the only blessing you were really looking for that even matters.
Yeah, this girl he's known for a week.
So that's it.
And 10 out of 10. I loved nearly every minute except for the racist. sexist, fatphobic. I don't know if we touched on the fatphobia.
Fatphobic. I mean, with the Tongan foreign exchange student, but also with the, there were so many little references to like fat chicks. And yeah, oh, my sister got a tapeworm on her mission, so she's not so fat anymore. So maybe you'd want to date her. Crazy. I mean, it's just relentless.
Yeah. Yeah. They never let up. And yet, I did enjoy myself.
And I am a Kirby Hayborn and Will Swenson apologist. Like, they are absolute stars.
Yeah, they really popped.
Good for them.
And this era, just like, it just takes you back. I was going to say, because like 2003, man, watching like 2003 Utah core footage, did it just take you back?
It took me all the way back. I felt like I could sing every lyric of every song on the soundtrack. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like spotting local celebrities who have not crossed my mind in 20 years and going, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a college student when this came out, living in Utah. So it was just like so reflective in some, in ways that are good and bad, of what I was living. And I enjoyed it. Yeah. I can't say 10 out of 10. I'd say 8 out of 10, though. I had a fun time watching it.
Yeah, hey, it, we got to dock a couple points for a lot of reasons.
A lot of reasons.
We're being generous.
It made me want to rewatch the best 2 years, because I remembered kind of loving it. And it's like a little more serious
movie. And a little higher budget.
And then it made me want to rewatch Sons of Provo, because it's so freaking weird.
Yeah, that's a weird film. I know, this time period is really fun to look back on, like from my perspective too, because I feel like I was like coming into being a person at this age. It was like a very formative time, and these movies were so, they were like a light in the darkness of being Mormon at that point for me, like, because they were funny, but they were also on brand Mormon content. Like, it was like, oh, I'm enjoying this, and I'm like allowed to watch it, and it's like, it's all good.
What a time.
An interesting time for sure.
With all of that said, I did end up watching Joseph Smith, the Prophet of the Restoration afterwards, and feeling like, oh, that was weird. And then I did a bunch of Googling about early polygamy and all the different like legal charges against Joseph Smith. And I ended the night being like, what am I doing? Why am I looking at all this? Why am I spending so much time digging into this? Enough.
Yeah.
So Living Scriptures is a little bit of a bottomless pit that you have to careful in, because it can easily like suck you down.
Yeah, you got to be in a good headspace, but it's nice that it's paid, because then you can just sign up for the free trial and only have to commit a couple weeks of your brain space to it. And so you can just watch the fun things. Don't go down any wormholes.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Yeah.
But I feel like that leads us into a relevant announcement, which is, which is what exactly?
Which is, we're ready for a little bit of a break.
We're ready for a little bit of a break. We love doing this.
Yeah.
This project is so fun. Doing this together is so fun. We love like hearing from listeners, interacting with listeners. Love.
Yes.
But a lot of this content is heavy.
And even the subject matter that isn't inherently heavy, like the RM, like you end up watching the restoration.
Up. Yeah.
And we end up getting mad. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It's loaded.
Yes, it is. And we also are both just like in little life transitions, you know, and it feels like a natural time to take a little break.
Yeah.
So we're calling this the season one finale of the podcast.
Yeah, it's episode 30. We thought it was very fitting. End on like a nice Kirby Hayborn note. And I'm going to go have a baby.
You sure are. I'm going to go finish the novel I've been working on. We're going to do some other stuff.
And we'll circle back.
We'll circle back. We'll be around.
Yeah.
Continue to follow us
Yeah.
Everywhere at Please List Pod. We're still on TikTok. We'll still be on Instagram, Twitter. I don't know. No promises.
We're
still on YouTube. We are probably, most likely, if not certainly, going to release little things here and there still.
Yeah. Bonus content.
We have lots of ideas for bonus content that'll be fun. So keep following us because you never know when it's going to pop up. And then, you know, season two.
Yeah. And after doing 30 episodes of this, I feel like, you know, with experience and having some conversations, we have a lot better idea of what we want to do going forward and how we can make it easier on our brains. And it'll be even better next time around. It'll be better for everybody.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, grow to
miss, as they say. So enjoy missing us, and then we'll be back.
Yeah, before you know it, honestly.
In the meantime, email us at pleaseblesspod@gmail.com with episode ideas, with anything you want. I mean, like, we're there. We love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Send us what's on your mind. Rate and review the podcast. That's still great and helpful, and we really appreciate it. We love getting those little reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
We just are so tickled by them. So
totally
keep it up. And, you know, please bless Katie having a baby. Please bless all of you that you have a nice little break from us, but also that you kind of miss us.
Yeah. If you're feeling sad, pull up a YouTube video.
We've got
a whole mess of YouTube videos up there for you, which are great to throw on a rainy day.
And always and forever, please bless this podcast.
Amen.